Today is the third day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is great to be here with you today as we continue the journey. The journey moving into this month, brand new as it is, and the journey that we have been on since the 1st of January, the journey through the Bible, the journey through a year together. And so let's continue that journey. We're reading from the Modern English Version this week, and we're moving our way through the Judges, the book of Judges, which tells us about the judges of Israel that followed Joshua's leadership. Today, Judges chapters 17 and 18. There was a man from the hill country of Ephraim whose name was Micah. He said to his mother, "The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you, on which you put a curse, even speaking the curse in my ears, here is the silver with me. I took it." Then his mother said, "May the Lord bless you, my son." Then he returned the 1,100 silver coins to his mother. His mother said, "I certainly consecrated this silver to the Lord for my son to make a carved idol and a metal idol, so now I return it to you." When he returned the silver to his mother, she took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to a silversmith to make a carved idol and a metal idol, and they were put in the house of Micah. This man Micah owned a shrine. He made an ephod and household idols, and he hired one of his sons to be a priest for him. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his eyes. There was a young man from Bethlehem in Judah. He was a Levite from Judah, and he stayed as a resident foreigner there. The man went from the city of Bethlehem in Judah to stay wherever he could find a place. He came to the hill country of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, to do his work. Micah said to him, "Where do you come from?" He said to him, "I am a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, and I am going to stay wherever I can find a place." Micah said to him, "Live with me and be a father and a priest for me. I will give you 10 silver coins a year, a set of clothes, and food." So the Levite went in. The Levite decided to live with the man, and the young man became like one of his sons. Micah ordained the Levite, and the young man became his priest and lived in the house of Micah. Then Micah said, "Now I know that the Lord will do good for me, for I have a Levite to be my priest." In those days, there was no king in Israel. And in those days, the tribe of the Danites was looking for an inheritance in which to live, for no territory had come into their possession among the tribes of Israel up to that time. So the children of Dan sent out from their families 5 valorous men from Zorah and Eshtaol in order to spy out and explore the land. They said to them, "Go explore the land." They came to the hill country of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, and they spent the night there. When they were at the house of Micah, they noticed the speech of the young Levite. They turned aside and said to him, "Who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? What is your business here?" He told them what Micah had done for him, saying, "He hired me, and I became his priest." They said to him, "Please ask God if we may know whether our mission will be a success as we go to do it." The priest said to them, "Go in peace. The Lord is watching the way you are going." The 5 men went away and came to Laish. They saw the people who were there, living securely according to the culture of the Sidonians. There were no rulers in the land who might put them to shame for anything. They were far from the Sidonians and had no ties with anyone. When they came back to their brothers in Zorah and Eshtaol, their brothers asked them, "What do you have to say?" They said, "Get up. Let us go up against them, for we have seen the land. It is very good. You are silent, but do not hesitate to go and take the land. When you go, you will come to a secure people and to an expansive land. For God has given it into your hands, a place where there is no lack of anything on earth." So 600 fully armed men set out from the family of the Danites, from Zorah and Eshtaol. they went up and set up camp in Kiriath Jearim, in Judah. Therefore, they call that place Mahane Dan to this day. It is west of Kiriath Jearim. From there, they passed the hill country of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. The five men who went to spy out the land of Laish said to their brothers, "Did you know that in these houses are an ephod, household idols, a carved image, and a metal idol? Now think about what to do." So they turned aside there and came to the house of the young Levite, to the house of Micah, and greeted him. The 600 men armed with their weapons of war, who were the children of Dan, stood at the entrance to the gates. The five men who went to spy out the land went in and took the carved idol, ephod, household idols, and the metal idol. The priest was standing at the entrance to the gate with the 600 fully armed men. When these men went into the house of Micah and took the carved idol, ephod, household idols, and the metal idol, the priest said to them, "What are you doing?" They said to him, "Quiet. Put your hand over your mouth and go with us. Be a father and a priest for us. Is it better to be a priest for one man's house or for a tribe and a family in Israel?" So the priest's heart was glad. He took the ephod, the household idols, and the carved image and went among the people. So they turned and left, putting the children, livestock, and valuables in front of them. They had gone far from the house of Micah, but the neighbors of Micah assembled and caught up to the children of Dan. They called out to the children of Dan. So they turned and said to Micah, "What is wrong that you have assembled together?" He said, "You took the gods that I made, and the priest, and then you left. What do I have left? So what is this that you say to me? What is wrong?" The children of Dan said to him, "Do not let us hear your voice again. Otherwise, bitter men might meet you, and you will forfeit your life and the lives of your family." So the children of Dan went their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his house. They took what Micah had made and his priest and came to Laish, to a quiet and secure people. They struck them down with the edge of the sword and burned the city with fire. There was no one to save them because the city was far from Sidon and had no contact with anyone. It was in the valley by Bet Rehob. They rebuilt the city and lived there. They called the city Dan, after their father Dan, who was born to Israel. Laish was the former name of the city. The children of Dan set up the carved idol for themselves. Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the time of exile from the land. So they displayed Micah's graven image that he had made for the whole time that the house of God was in Shiloh. John 3, 1-21. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly I say to you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly I say to you, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can this be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, but you do not know these things? Truly, Truly I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness of what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven except he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the verdict: that light has come into the world, and men have loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that it may be revealed that his deeds have been done in God. Psalm 104, 1 through 24. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, covering yourself with light as a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a tent curtain, who lays the upper beams of his chambers on the waters above, who makes the clouds his chariot, who rides upon the wings of the wind, who makes his angels as winds, his ministers a flaming fire. You laid the earth on its foundation so that it should never be moved. You covered it with the deep as a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. At the sound of your thunder, they departed away. The mountains rose up. The valleys went down to the place that you appointed them. You set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not again cover the earth. You send the springs to gush forth in the valleys which flow between the hills. They give drink to every animal of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them the birds of the heavens have their habitation. They sing among the branches. You water the mountains from your lofty chamber. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. You cause the grass to grow for the cattle and the plants for the cultivation of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth, and wine that makes glad the heart of man, and oil that makes shine his face, and bread that strengthens his heart. The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he has planted, where the birds make their nests, where the stork has its home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats, and the rocks a refuge for the badgers. He set the moon to mark the appointed seasons. The sun knows its time for going down. You make darkness, and it is night, when all the animals of the forest go forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. When the sun arises, they gather themselves together and lay down in their dens. Man goes forth to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! With wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Proverbs 14, 20 and 21. The poor is hated even by his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends. He who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. Okay, so in the book of Judges, we have this kind of odd story about a man named Micah who has prominence, and he ends up hiring a Levite to be his priest from Bethlehem. Then later the Danites get mixed up into the story because they're looking for land of their own. They've kind of been within the other tribes and they're looking for land of their own. And as they're scouting for land, that's when they come upon Micah and see his carved idols and his priest, the Levite from Bethlehem. And so that's one of the things that they scout out and see. And then they go on to this city called Laish, and they see a group of Sidonian people who are living peaceably in a really, really beautiful area, but they're undefended. They have no allies. If they were to be attacked, no one could get there in time to help defend them. They were just living peaceably all by themselves. And the tribe of Dan made a decision to go and take that land. And so they left to do exactly that. And that's when they come up on Micah again. They steal his carved idols. They take his Levitical priest from Bethlehem and kind of seduce him away by saying, you want to be the priest for this one household? Or do you want to be a priest for an entire tribe of Israel? And of course, the Levite wants to be the priest for the tribe of Israel. And so the Danites make it to Laish, where they conquer the people and changed the city's name from Laish to Dan. That place is still there. Like, the ruins of that place are still there. It is more toward the extreme northern part of what we now know as modern Israel, but even in ancient Israel, once things are all established, the territory is known from Dan to Beersheba. So from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south. Today we see where the city of Dan comes from and how it came to be. Then when we flip the page into the Gospel of John, we come to perhaps very, very, very likely the most famous verse in all of the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And that very important verse in the Gospel of John really lays out a framework for God's love for us and our response in believing. And once we do, eternal life becomes a reality. What is not always apparent or always known about this most famous of all verses is that Jesus said that verse. He said it while having a conversation under the cover of night with a Pharisee named Nicodemus. And so by this time in Jesus' ministry, there is animosity going on. Jesus is not understood, and there are people who are very against him and other people who are plotting against him. So this Pharisee Nicodemus comes to Jesus under the cloak of darkness to have this conversation because he sees what's going on. In fact, everybody can see what's going on. They just don't know how to interpret it. They know that Jesus is drawing a crowd. They know that his words come with authority, and they know that signs and wonders are following what he is doing. And so some people can say clearly this man is from God, and other people say he gets his power from the devil. So that's how divided the whole thing is. But it's in this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus that this concept of being born again comes from. Being born again is almost cliche for becoming a follower of Jesus or converting to Christianity. What Jesus is unpacking here is that a person is born into the flesh. We are born into a human body. We are human beings of flesh, but there is a second birth of the spirit, the awakening of the spirit, the reunification of the spirit with God, so that the separation isn't there, so that God is within us. Or as the scriptures say, it isn't me who lives anymore, it's Christ who lives within me. This spiritual awakening, this spiritual birth, if we want to use the term that Jesus is using, is what being born again is. And it is explained in this verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." Of course, Nicodemus is confused. Like, how does a person get born again? Like, how does a person, when they have become old, then get born again? How can they go back into their mother's womb and be born again? And that's when Jesus explains that we are born of the flesh and born of the spirit. And we are born of the spirit when we believe. And according to Jesus, when we believe, we are no longer condemned. But when we choose not to believe, we are experiencing condemnation already. Which does make perfect sense, doesn't it? Because when we feel the most condemnation in our lives, is usually the time that we believe the least. Which gives us a glimpse of the fact that there really does seem to be a war within, between darkness and light, clean and unclean, good and evil. And Jesus says as much. The light has come into the world, and man loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. In other words, their deeds were in the darkness, so they don't want the light. For everyone, and I'm quoting Jesus again, for everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that it may be revealed that his deeds have been done in God. So yes, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And we who believe are not condemned anymore, but as we believe, we have inherited eternal life, which brings us into the light where there isn't anything to hide anymore. And so the pertinent question for us then becomes, well, what do I not want to be exposed to the light? Because that, whatever that is, or whatever those things are actually pulling us toward and into the darkness. One of the beautiful things about the gospel of Jesus, and one of the really difficult things to live among other believers, is that the more we become like our Savior, the less there is to hide. The less there is to hide, the more truthful we can live. The more true that we can live, the more freedom that we can experience. And yet we still choose darkness often. We still choose the darkness often, either out of fear of exposure or well-worn, tired trails that we keep walking. God loved us enough to come for us and demonstrate for us what living in the truth and in the light looks like. And then going to Jerusalem and laying his life down to make this possible for we who believe. And so why would we choose the darkness? Why do we choose the darkness? Maybe we know less about ourselves than we think we do, which means we know far less about God than we think that we do. But the one thing that we do know is that he loves us and desires our freedom. And if the gospel is correct, and the cross and its work is correct, then it's all available to us. We are simply choosing otherwise. So Jesus, even thinking about that, even thinking about choosing otherwise, almost feels like it's another slap in the face. But you haven't come to heap condemnation upon us. You have come to continually encourage us forward and comfort us forward so that we can move toward the truth and move toward the light. And that is our desire. That is the desire of our heart in a world of darkness, in a world full of dark people, in a world where we're battling it ourselves within ourselves. We need the light more than ever. We need to be awake and alert and aware and seeing more than ever. But we can't open our eyes when we think it's all up to us and it's all about us. Our eyes open in surrender. And so we surrender to you. We believe that you are changing and transforming us. And a world full of transformed people living in the light is a transformed world. And you have invited us to be a part of that story. And it begins in our own hearts. And so come, Holy Spirit, show us the things that lead us into darkness. Show us the things that we do not want to be exposed. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. It is where you find out what's going on around here. You can do that with the Daily Audio Bible app as well, so check that out. Check out things like the Daily Audio Bible Shop. There are resources there, whether that be things to wear, things to read, things to write with, things to write in, things to listen to, all kinds of stuff that has been developed for the journey through the Bible in a year, whether that be things to make us a little bit more in tune with the land where these things happened, whether that be things to take us deeper in our understanding and of our relationship with God. So certainly check out the Daily Audio Bible Shop. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if the mission that we have to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anyone who will listen anywhere, anytime, and to build community around the rhythm that we have of showing up every day. We call this the Global Campfire. If that is life-giving to you, then thank you humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Where the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is that little red button up at the top that looks remarkably like a hotline button. You can press that from anywhere in the world, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, my beautiful DAB family. This is Libby from Queensland in Australia. A few weeks ago, I prayed God would, from Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a bright spirit within me. Well, it's been a rough couple of weeks, and my faith has been sorely tested. This morning as I prayed, God showed me to read a passage where Jesus is praying prior to the ascension, John 17:3. This is eternal life, that they know you, the the only true God and the one you sent, Jesus Christ. That's it. To know Jesus and to know God. Well, with the light of 1,000 suns, this spoke to me. My goal has been to read the Bible through and to read it again through and through and through, and to get to know God and Jesus so that I might love them. I've struggled with doing what I think is right and what my faith in him leads me to know what is right. I'm not going to do the things out of guilt. My goal is to do what I'm led to do with love, because of love. The goal is love. May you all have a blessed day. Thank you so much, Brian and the Harden family, for this beautiful family with the dad community.
Good morning, everyone. This is Janelle in China. It is currently 6:57 on April 29th. I just listened to the April 28th recording, and I wanted to call in response to the gentleman who is celebrating his 18th birthday. I am praying for you and praying that the Lord will give you peace and discernment during this time, but I wanted to call and give you some unsolicited advice. That feeling of being totally unprepared, I'm sorry to tell you, but that's part of being an adult. Because I can't tell you the number of times where that's happened to me. And what I found is that it's how you deal with that feeling and how you respond to it, which really defines how you are as an adult. There's going to be so many times where God will push you out of your comfort zone and he's trying to grow you as a Christian. And this is one of those times right now. I'm sorry, but welcome to adulthood. There's lots of joys as well as the anxieties. So focus on the now and trust God and he'll get you through.
Hello, DAB. This is Luo Lan in Henan in China. I'm calling because I listened to April 28th and I heard Owen just had his 18th birthday and doesn't feel ready to be an adult. Dude, I feel ya. I just turned 27 recently and I still don't feel like an adult a lot of the time. It's hard. It's hard to know what to do. But the good news is, even when I don't feel like I know what to do and everything seems like a huge mess, God's still there and he's still taking care of it, even when I can't see it or when you can't see it. So I'm definitely praying for you. In other news, I had posted on the prayer wall to pray for my friend Daming, who was really searching for God, having dreams. And praise report, he says he wants to become a Christian. It's really amazing to just watch this unfolding. I don't think I helped very much, but it's not my job. So thank you, DAB, for the Chinese that I could play for him. Thank you for praying, those of you who prayed. Praise God.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible. This is Sharon in Southern California. I hope everyone is well and doing prosperously in the name of Jesus. I just heard a call from a young man named Owen. He just made 18 years old and he's feeling anxious about being an adult. Owen, I just want to say, I think you calling the Daily Audio Bible was a very adult decision. You were asking for guidance. You were asking for God to be there for you. And I am 56 years old and I do the same thing every day. So, Owen, I pray, my prayer for you is that the Lord will answer your prayer and help you, guide you through life's ups and downs, you know, through happiness, joy, sadness, triumphs, and obstacles. That is what he's there for. And I commend you for calling. I think that was wonderful. You made my day, actually, to know that there are still some young people out there seeking the Lord. So I I'm really happy for you. My prayer is that you find what you're looking for. I pray that the Lord keep you in his protective care and loving arms always. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, Owen. This is People on the Water from Indiana, and I'm also 18. And in the last few weeks of my senior year, looking into college and what it is being an adult. So first of all, welcome to the club. It's a good age. And there's people around you, you know, you've made it this far. And you just trust that God does have your back. There's good people around you. I just pray that God might give you eyes to see them. All right. See
ya. Hello, Debbie Dab Dabbers. This is Trixalina. I haven't called in a while, and I'm calling in because I need prayer. I've been involved in my ministry for 2 years now, and it's been wonderful, just falling deeply in love with God, serving his people, and finding people that love God as well to just spend time with them. But it turns out that the pastor has not been paying rent on the houses that the ministry people have been living in exchange for work. They get free rent. And we house about 70 men that are coming out of prison, that are getting sober in their living. And it's the least of these that we serve in these houses. And it's really sad to think about them losing their homes is what it's looking like. And so if I may please have prayer that may the Lord's will be done in all of these men's lives. May the Lord's will be done in their path and where they go. And it's obvious that it just got over the pastor's head and he didn't know what to do. And then it just got to the end. And I pray the Lord's will be done over my path and where I go. And I'm just kind of like, I don't know where to go now. I don't know what to do, but I know that I follow the Lord and that he has a plan. I know he has a plan. I don't know what it is, but may the Lord's will be done in the name of Jesus. And I just pray peace, happiness, hope, joy over all these people in this transition. And thank you all. Y'all have a good day.